Welcome to Scrap Heap Challenge, where our two most tested and triumphant technicians of trash are set to return to the heap to bodge for victory. Yes, it's the Scrap Heap Challenge final.
This week, our teams face maritime mayhem because they'll be constructing deadly, devious destroyers. These vessels have to sink, grapple and smash all enemy forces blocking their way. The first to scupper the foe and land on this island can claim the coveted Scrap Heap trophy.
In our most daring and deadly challenge ever, the teams will attack three different targets. They'll have to break through these harbour gates, topple a tower, and sink an enemy ship. So let's meet our would-be water warriors.
Our first team are those posh-punting, smooth-talking sailors from Hampshire, the Boat Boys. This classy crew is normally at home in the serene surroundings of the Solent, but stern-talking Captain Toby...
I'm good at bossing people about. I don't say any nonsense for anybody.
And marine mates Monty and Johnny have brought an elegance to engineering rarely seen on the scrap heap. The Boat Boys shot through to the semi-final after securing victory with their fast-firing golf ball gun. And then it was full steam ahead with their powerful paddle boat.
The second team desperate to be seeded number one is the Barley Pickers. This bunch of fast-working farmers from deepest Devon are all experts in their field. Captain Andy and his fellow country cowboys, Keith and Robin, always combine their engineering talents to reap great rewards. The Barley Pickers didn't wallow around in their first round marathon of mud-bogging mayhem and ploughed straight through the opposition with their deep delving digger. But will they come a cropper in the final?
Listen up, you lily-livered landlubbers. Start getting shipshape, because this week we're asking you to wage war on water. Ha ha! Okay. Barley Pickers, Boat Boys, prepare to build the most daring, deadly destroyer that has ever been launched from the heap!
Ha ha ha! Yes!
Oh, yes, teams, your ships of war must ram, capsize, and smash enemy ships to smithereens! The first to cross hostile waters without being scuppered captures the coveted scrap heap trophy.
Hey.
Right, teams, you know the score. When the wrecking ball's released, you've got just 10 hours to bodge together those battleships. Barley Pickers, are you ready?
Oh, yeah, yes. We're on the job.
Boat Boys, are you ready?
Yes!
Wait for it.
Go!
To help the Boat Boys keep their heads above water, we've enlisted boat builder Ian Thomas, a lecturer in marine construction.
And going overboard for the Barley Pickers is boat builder and marine engineer Sim Oakley.
Hi, guys.
Hello there. We've got to build a destroyer to bash things up.
Good. Think big. Big weapon. Big axe.
My.
Battering ram.
These weapons are great. Can we just go back to what sort of size of boat you think you need for this?
A catamaran. Two hulls.
Right.
Okay. Then it's some kind of engine with some kind of propeller, presumably, but...
The Boat Boys want to make a large floating platform which is buoyant enough to mount big weapons on. They want two flotation devices to make a catamaran for extra stability. They have two weapons, a battering ram, which will be suspended from an A-frame, and an enormous axe. It's a weighty machine that could make light work of the enemy, but it could be slow and difficult to manoeuvre.
I'm just concerned that we're going to have an axe at the stern here, and a battering ram there, so if you've hit it with that...
While Boat Boy's Captain Toby is already picking holes in Ian's plan, next door in the Barley Pickers dock, technical consultant Sim's fielding questions from the farmers.
So what I'd like to do... Actually, I'd like to know what you'd like to do first.
We'd like to win.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
So we want something kind of light, ideally. Something, obviously, which floats, because that would be a good start.
And I suppose we've got something hard-fronted.
Hard-fronted, which would be good, yeah. So we can use it as a bit of a battery
ram thing.
So what we'd like to do is to have something which obviously ram it at speed, pierce the hull, and just pull it apart.
Oh, I see, like a jack in action.
How are we going to activate the arm?
Hydraulics.
Hydraulics.
Hydraulic ram.
Why not?
The Barley Pickers want to build a light, manoeuvrable boat. On the bow, they want to mount large hydraulic scissors that can pierce targets and pull them apart. Ideally, it'll have a mechanism to move it up and down so that it can hit targets in the right place. It's a cutting-edge idea, but their hull will have to be strong enough to hold it. And if their hydraulics fail, they'll be scuppered.
We all get a shopping list, don't we? Bacon, eggs, sausages.
Sugar.
Hulls.
Engines.
Engines. And I think weapons will come very soon afterwards. Go for your life. We'll have a cup of tea. Away you go.
Come on, let's go. It's high time to salvage some scrap. And already it's turning into a hull of a race.
Both teams will need to get their vessels shipshape and Bristol fashion as quickly as possible if they're to leave enough time to make those all-important weapons.
Modern-day destroyers can sink the enemy from hundreds of miles away with long-range missiles. But our brave bodgers are more likely to take inspiration from the ancient Greeks and Romans who used to scupper their foes by sailing their ship into the enemy's boat. This full-scale replica of a Greek trireme has a sharp bronze ram that can hull enemy ships beneath the waterline. 170 oarsmen could get the boat moving at up to 15 miles per hour, which was enough to do catastrophic damage. If you were unfortunate enough to be on the bottom rung of three layers of rowers, it was not a pleasant experience. Toilet breaks would have put them off their stroke and were not allowed.
And our fortunate farmers have already made a serious find.
Andy, you won't believe this.
Go for it, Robin. What have you found?
We found a fibreglass boat.
About 20 foot long.
Has he got an engine?
Well, it's either that or a bathtub.
Bathtub.
We'll get that as well.
Get that as well. We'll have a life raft on the back.
We've got to find something that floats.
The boat boys have spotted something that might just float their boat.
That blue thing.
Big enough, do you think?
It's quite narrow, though, isn't it? Although it does seem to be a tank.
It's a ginormous jetty that should sit happily in the water, but shifting it isn't going to be plain sailing.
It looks heavy.
Let's just drag the whole thing in, end on, if it's possible. I'm going to have a run up at it.
Okay.
Stand back.
Yeah.
Well-mannered Monty decides to give it the red carpet treatment and politely ushers the pontoon into the workshop.
One, two, three.
Come on!
I've seen another one of those. Should we try and get that?
Well, if there is one, and they're both reasonable, we might as well.
Let's go see.
Two will be enough, probably.
The barley picker's boat is stranded high, if not so dry, and a single quad bike won't shift it. These sons of the soil have decided it's time to play dirty.
My out, farmers! Hi-o, sailor!
And the farmers are hatching a plan that involves the boat boy's quad bike. Johnny, I wouldn't leave that there if I were you.
Seen anything?
And the moment naive nautical Johnny turns his back, they've stolen the boat boy's bike.
Good lads. You've stolen their bike.
Right. And with the aid of stolen goods, the fiendish farmers make a quick getaway to their build area.
Off we go!
And those dastardly dirt diggers land their booty, or should that be booty, in dry dock.
How's that, boy?
Hey!
While his scavengers are on the hunt for a second pontoon, Boatboy's Captain Toby is changing tack and plotting a new course for his team. He's seen a third tank that's given him ideas.
I reckon we get that, we mount that in the middle, so you end up with that, okay? We get two outboards.
Toby thinks he can improve Ian's catamaran design by adding a third massive pontoon. And if he offsets the pontoons, their battering ram will still hang down the middle close to the waterline. The bigger platform will be more stable and allow them to carry heavier weapons. Unfortunately, it means their destroyer is likely to be slower and more difficult to manoeuvre.
Has Toby followed your vague idea in, or has he gone off on his own tangent?
Absolutely to the absence of anything. No, we're all right. We're close. We've moved from a catamaran to a floating lobster type approach. We're still sticking with my big weapons, which is nice.
Let me just try and get in the back here, Rob, and see if I can
turn that crank.
While the boat boys are contemplating their navels, the barley pickers have found an enormous engine. It's diesel, so it won't put a dampener on proceedings if it gets wet.
Yay, he moves. He turns.
Good oh. I'll get the valves going.
This'll be all right, Sam.
Back in the barley pickers' paddock, Andy and Sim are ploughing through ideas to turn their pleasure boat into a combat cruiser.
So we can strengthen it up and give us some kind of protection as we're going along.
All right, Sim.
Hello, Lisa.
You managed to get the boat back, OK? How are you going to adapt the boat to make it do what you want it to do?
We're very worried about this fibreglass.
It's quite flimsy, isn't it?
If you start mounting something on fibreglass and hitting something hard from the front, we're going to split it and tear it and be all a pickle.
Domino's effect. Cracking all the way back.
So we think we'll go for the strong build design and we'll give us a nice strong chassis in here and we'll come off of that.
Keeping an eye on proceedings this week is our expert, Paul Mara, one of the country's top powerboat instructors.
It's a fairly easy contrast today, isn't it? The boat boys are building the biggest thing I've ever seen and the least floaty looking, I think I have to say at the moment. And the barley pickers have got an actual boat.
You say the big thing doesn't look very floaty, that's got a lot more buoyancy in it.
That's it.
For
that's
the size of their building, that's what they've got to go for. They're putting two heavy weapons on it, so they need as much buoyancy to keep it afloat.
So I'm not completely clear what the boat boys' weapons are.
Right, what they've got is two distinct weapons.
Right.
First one is this axe that comes down. My worry with the axe is it's going to go too far down when it swings like that and they won't be able to pull it back up.
It'll go underwater.
Yeah, the other weapon they've got is a battering ram that's angled down so it goes beneath the waterline of the target.
Right.
Hopefully going to sink it by puncturing a big hole in the bottom.
Right. Because at the moment the barley pickers have got, I mean, a boat which presumably is, you know, fairly stable in the water. It's designed to be in the water, isn't it?
Because if it stays afloat, they've got the opposite thing of stability. See, on a boat you need two things. You need buoyancy to keep it afloat and stability to stop it tipping over.
And at the front they're not having a ram exactly, is it? A sort of jaw thing.
They're talking about having sort of two prongs that come out like this with two more that go into the target and then just rip it apart that way.
So who's your money on at the moment, the barley pickers or the boat boys?
Definitely on the boat boys at the moment.
Hold it!
Back in the farmer's yard, the barley pickers are stuck in the mud with a heavy engine. But Reliant Robin isn't one to get bogged down easily.
But while the farmers rock and roll, there's mutiny on the high seas in the yuppie yachtsman's quarters.
We're all giving you a hard time here. I'm very sorry about this.
It's all right.
Captain Toby seems set on rocking the boat again.
Personally, I think it's a big plan. I think we better... I'm sorry to blow you out of the water, but you're making two different methods of doing the same job.
Will the posh punter's ramming raft leave them all at sea?
Or will the farmers go overboard with their forklift frigate?
Find out who'll have that sinking feeling
after the break. Welcome back to the Scrap Heap Challenge Final, where our two teams are sailing into troubled water as they bodge together a barbaric bruiser of a battleship.
The challenge this week is to race across our aquatic assault course. En route, our teams will have to break through a set of harbour gates, capsize a tower, and finally sink the enemy ship.
The fast-working farmers, the barley pickers, are ploughing ahead of the opposition. They've landed a diesel engine to put in their lightweight dinghy, but it's time to cut to the chase and find those hydraulic scissors.
The posh pontificating boat boys have big plans for a whale of a wrecking raft with weighty weapons, but all they've got so far is one rusty tank. And there's mutiny brewing.
Right, now, I'm being very rude. I don't actually rate the axe. That's me personally. I think it's going to be a big pain in the backside. A long time to build, all right? When we get it to hit something, it's bound to get stuck, and then we are stuffed.
Toby personally, is revolting, but are his new plans watertight?
This is what I was thinking. You see, if we can put some sort of a hook or a claw, could be just something you just drop down to hold the boat. Once you've held the boat, all right, whatever you put through here is going to do some serious damage.
Toby's giving that unwieldy axe the chop to concentrate on other weapons. He was concerned that their targets might simply float away when hit, so he's adding a pair of giant pincers to hold them in place. He's also mounting a winch to topple the towers. He believes these gripping new designs will help the boat boys clinch scrap heap success.
So I don't know what advantages you get if you've won, if you can say, you know, if you go to a job interview saying, what else have you done? Well, I won the Scrap Heap Challenge trophy.
Oh, I think they're definitely getting a job.
Come into this high-tech engineering company.
As a tea maker.
As a tea maker.
Yes.
As the man that breaks things quite rapidly. No, but I mean, they can. They're brilliant. They've all been brilliant engineers, all the people who've been on it.
Yeah, and they can maybe get to open fates.
I bet they open fates, can't they?
Kiss babies' heads.
Do a bit of baby kissing.
Get recognised in the street quite a lot.
A lot of street recognition. No, it's worth it, isn't it? It's worth the struggle.
The boat boys seem to be going pontoon potty.
Can we get someone to leave at the end?
But have they been carried away on the tide of Toby's enthusiasm? The tank that he's spotted is going to need a heave-ho and a half, so they're sending out an SOS.
Hey, guys, hold on a moment. Hold on a second. I've just got a bit of a plan B. 1 second. Farmers, we need a bit of help, please. Go on, guys.
It's all proving too much for these mild-mannered mariners to handle alone. Fortunately, the barley pickers are proper gents.
Right, gentlemen.
So it's all hands on deck to get that giant jetty into the Hooray Henry's Harbour. They're all playing pontoon, but have they forgotten they're on different sides? And just when the barley pickers thought it was safe to go back in the water.
And there's one more, please, gentlemen.
Although they weigh a ton, these pontoons are sealed units, which provide lots of buoyancy in them, unless they turn out to be full of holes.
Here we are! Hey, hey,
thank you very much. Most kind. If we need you again, we'll give you a ring.
Don't call us, Toby. We'll call you.
Well, there we go. There's our boat.
It's giving me lots more confidence when I see what they're up to.
I have to say, I'm a bit cheered up.
It's going to be a very delicate job removing the internal partitions from the boat to make room for their engine. It requires great precision and a gentle approach. Unfortunately, they've asked Captain Andy to do it. Good call, guys.
Hoar, hoar!
Teams, you have 6 hours remaining. 6 hours remaining, teams. I thank you.
6 hours, boys. Do you reckon we're there? Halfway. Not only halfway.
The boat boys have all three pontoons, but no way of propelling them through the water.
Johnny,
Toby. Yeah, go ahead, Toby.
Any luck with the right boards?
Yeah, we got an old Evolude 55. Over.
With such a heavy vessel, they'll need all the thrust they can lay their hands on.
Keith and Robin have discovered a dust card, which they think could provide them with a fearsome weapon of war. The hydraulic piston used for lifting dustbins has just the kind of lift and separate action they're after for those hydraulic scissors.
Monty's search for engines is over and out, board.
Oh, that sounds good.
So do you want two spikes? And back in the build area, the barley pickers are having a powwow.
Yeah, that's it, run. So a spike goes in here.
At the bottom.
And then one, we extend the bottom on down and have another one. So you've got two spikes going in together.
That's it.
Then we open one and we've still got up.
Yeah.
The barley pickers are going to take a two-pronged approach to their weapon. They found some solid steel that they plan to make into two lethal spikes, which they'll then attach to the dustbin lifting mechanism. This will be a dual-purpose weapon that can both tear targets to pieces and also topple towers. Robin's making a point. A prong for the barley picker's seriously savage scissors.
These tardy toffs have finally turned their attention to weapons, and boat boy Monty is collecting materials to make the A-frame for their battering ram. Unfortunately, Toby and Ian have realised that their pontoon has more holes than a paper doily.
And that last one needs to be a 4x3. The hole's got even bigger.
If they don't get patching, they could find their chances of scrap heap success and their pontoon sunk without trace.
Yeah, you can't have too long, it'd be bowing, it'd be bending, snapping.
Oh, that's horrible. That looks really nasty. Well, I can understand then. You sail into the boat with enormous violence and aggression.
That's right.
That pierces the hull.
Uh-huh.
So you've already got a big hole in it. But then what does it do?
A bit of luck with the hydraulic ram, if we can get a pump in a minute.
Ah. So that's the inside of the boat going.
Hopefully.
It opens up that wide.
Tearing.
That's amazing. And quite heavy lump of metal to fix onto a fiberglass boat. Not that I'm being, I'm just worried. Because that thing, there's a sort of famous old encyclopedia, isn't there? Great Marine Disasters, the Metal and Fiberglass Years.
We're not familiar with that.
No.
Don't read it. I think they don't get on that well, do they?
This week, our teams have to sink an enemy galleon. And the easiest way of scuppering a vessel is to make a hole below the waterline. It was Archimedes who discovered that boats float if they displace an amount of water equal to or larger than their own weight. The greater the surface area of the hull, the more water displaced and the better the buoyancy. If the hull is punctured and the boat starts filling up, it soon reaches the critical point where it weighs more than the amount of water it displaces, with catastrophic results.
So for a speedy sinking, our teams need to make the enemy vessel take on water as quickly as possible. Where they hold the vessel could make all the difference.
A hole 3 feet below the waterline can let in almost twice as much water as a hole 1 foot below it because of the increased water pressure. So if our teams have any sense, they'll be aiming for as low a blow as possible.
Teams, you have 5 hours remaining. You still have 5 whole hours remaining, teams. I thank you.
If anybody else jumps on this pontoon while I'm welding, I shall personally strap them down and weld them to the pontoon.
Half the day's gone and Captain Toby and his boat boys are feeling the heat. They're getting further and further behind.
We've got the hole of that 400 mil wide.
Monty, Ian, how's it going?
Hello, Lisa.
I can't really see any sign of the weapons. There's still a lot to do on them, isn't there?
This is the weapon infrastructure.
This is the swing frame,
mm-hmm.
which is going to support the battering ram, and that is going to be our battering ram.
That
Imagine like that extended by another half a metre with a point on the end. We've got a serious weapon there, and it is appearing slowly. I know it doesn't look like it, but it is there, honest.
Barley picker Keith's been scavenging for a propeller, but he's come across a strange-looking shrapnel of scrap. He and Andy are stumped.
That's a Hamilton jet drive, mate.
Is it?
Jet drives suck up water through the bottom of a boat, accelerate it and expel it, propelling the boat forward. Steering is achieved simply by changing the direction of the stream of water. It's a powerful propulsion system, but fitting it will mean the barley pickers have to cut big holes in the bottom of their boat. If they don't seal them properly, they could be going for an unscheduled swim.
Boat boys have got, it's just getting bigger and bigger. Every time I look, there's something even more enormous welded together.
Well, I think the good thing is they've got all the parts there for the actual boat.
Right.
It's just a big Meccano set, just to put it together. It would appear that they've abandoned the idea of the axe.
So what are they going to use? What's their weapon then?
They're putting everything in at the moment into the battering ram.
Right. So they've basically got a huge pontoon with a big spike on the front that they'll just drive into stuff.
That's right.
That's
the general idea.
Sort of a bit basic.
It's very basic, but then the most basic weapons usually work.
Often, yes.
Less things to go wrong.
But what about the barley pickers are getting very... I mean, their ram thing at the front is fantastic.
I know. Well, the thing about the barley pickers is they've actually got their weapon assembled.
Yeah.
They've just got to bolt it together, put everything in there.
Yes.
Jet drives there, the engine's there.
Yeah,
the whole lot.
There's quite a lot of kind of slightly delicate joining together.
Well, they've got the fiberglass around all the holes.
Right.
Farmers don't do that.
I did discuss that with Andy. They don't know anything about fiberglass. Apparently he's got one fiberglass animal feeder.
Is he?
But that's broken and he's just thrown it out. So he's not keen on fiberglass at all.
Down at the farmyard, the size of that weapon is weighing heavily on Robin's mind.
All that on the front, hanging off that fiberglass. I know we talked about breaking it back.
He's worried that unless they distribute the weight of the weapon away from the front, the whole boat could break in two.
I don't think... I mean, see what Sim says. I mean, he...
Sim's confident that's going
to
work, but...
It's up to you, boys. Call yourself the engineer, Sim. Well, look, you decide. I'm happy either way. Sim, I know what you're saying that can be done. You can do what you like, mate. I'm not going to stress over it.
The seeds of doubt are firmly sown in this farmer's mind.
Next door, the A-frame for the boat boy's battering ram slowly begins to take shape.
Now, what angle do we want?
I mean, that's the way to go. It's going to do the business. We've got one fifth of a weapon.
Six hours into the build, the bombastic boat boys have little more than a floating climbing frame. They're still way behind in the weapon stakes.
And the barley pickers are in danger of scuppering their own boat with a seriously heavy weapon.
Find out whether they'll sink or swim after the break.
Welcome back to the Scrap Heap Challenge Final, where our two teams are trying to build deadly destroyers, sink the opposition, and win the coveted trophy. Yeah!
The boat boys have cobbled together a huge rusty raft, but they're still all at sea with their weapons.
The barley pickers are steaming ahead with their demolition dinghy, but the fearsome weapon may be too heavy for the fragile frame, and Robin's getting even more worried about his weight problem. Now they're talking about adding the slider mechanism, which will more than double the load on the front.
See what, mate? The only way I can see to do this slide, and it's going to be heavy.
Heavy? Heavy as you like, mate.
If Sim's confidence is misplaced and the bow buckles under the weight, the damage could be terminal.
I then split that in two and made that into
the... The slider mechanism is a heavyweight addition to the weapon. If its weight can't be supported by the flimsy fiberglass, it could break the bow off completely or pitch the front of the boat so deep into the water that steering would become impossible and the jet drive would propel them to the bottom. But without the slider, their weapon will be less effective. If they can't adjust its height, they may not hit the targets. It's a tough choice.
There's 2 underweight there now and I've got another underweight to go on plus whatever Keith's going to do.
That's all right. It's all covered.
Yeah?
Captain reckons.
But Sim's sure that their bodgetastic battleship will stay seaworthy.
There's an hour's work there.
Then it's all done.
So a reluctant Robin starts on the slider.
Yeah, that's okay. If that's what you want me to do, that's what I will do.
I want you to go and find some chain. Then I want to concentrate on getting our batting ram done.
Yeah.
And next door, it's full steam ahead for the boat boys. Toby's decided it's time to shape up or ship out.
Seriously, we're running out of time. You'll make a list.
No, I want to get on.
Don't
with
want
it.
A list.
No?
Want to get on? Okay, yeah, guys, let's get on. We know what we're doing.
Right.
Finally, with less than 4 hours to go, these time-wasting toffs are on the warpath with their weapons. And that elusive winch to topple the towers finally appears.
How are you doing, Mr. Monty?
We're getting there. We're cusping.
It's the moment of truth for Robin's slider. Is it going to be too heavy or will it go slip, slip, sliding away?
Sim?
Yeah?
How much weight do you want on the front?
Minimum.
Minimum. What, the minimum of a couple of hundred weight before we start?
That's not too bad, is it?
It's not going to be any good,
it's
is it?
A fair bit of that, isn't it?
What about if we...
So the barley picker's weapon is going to be seriously compromised as hours of hard work slide into obscurity. And Keith's come to get the whole sorry saga of the slider off his chest.
But we've had a little bit of a waste of time, but... We were sort of encouraged to go down that route by Sim.
Hopefully we haven't wasted too much time, we can catch up again, but we were a bit concerned that the boat was going to turn into a nosedive and make turn us into a jet-propelled submarine.
Teams, you have 3 hours remaining. 3 hours remaining, teams. Thank you.
I'm a bit concerned, Robin. That's not going to be strong enough.
All right, barley pickers.
I know we've got to strap it across.
My immediate reaction is this is quite a big, heavy bit of machinery to have in the front of a boat.
Not half as heavy as it was an hour ago.
The other thing that concerns me, it is a big bit of metal being attached to a fiberglass structure.
No, well.
Colin, are you that confident, Robin?
No.
No.
I'm every bit as worried as you.
Really?
With 3 hours to go, boat boys Monty and Ian have got their A-frame priorities all mixed up. These well-groomed welders are worried about their looks.
Twisted. Do we care if it's twisted?
It's not pretty.
But, I mean, look what we're on. Do we do pretty?
I kind of want it to be a bit pretty.
We'll paint it pink. That'll do it.
Those sophisticated sailor boys are hoping for plenty of horsepower from their outboard motors, while the farmers finally get that jet drive into place. And Toby gets to grips with his new toy, the giant claw. Yeah.
The boat boy is also going for some sort of hook thing.
It's supposed to act as a claw to grab onto.
Hook onto whatever they're trying to sink.
That's right, yeah.
Right. Well, look, I'm a bit worried about the barley pickers.
Yeah, fundamental flaw at the moment is their weapon. Lots of steel bolted through some very thin fibreglass.
Yeah.
The whole principle of that boat is you've got the blue part, the hull, is one moulding.
Right.
And glued on top is the white top. If that impacts on something, the whole shockwave's going to go through the whole boat.
Right. So it could
potentially, it could pop the top off the bottom.
Right. So if the barley pickers split their hull or something awful like that and they get water inside, is that going to be a kind of instantly serious problem?
It could become a potential big problem
because
they've stripped most of the things out to get the engine in, and they've now got one monohull with no partitions within the boat. So if they get any water moving around within the boat, it's all going to go to the lowest point, and potentially the weight of that water will tip the boat over.
The hulls of most ships or boats contain watertight partitioning, so that even if water comes in, it's contained in different compartments, and there's no danger of destabilising the whole boat. To make room for the engine, the barley pickers have removed their partitions. If they spring a leak, even a little water could start to slosh around dangerously and make the boat capsize.
Thank you very much for my tour of the ship, sir.
We will, of course.
The boat boys still haven't finished a single weapon.
Right.
But that's not worrying Johnny, who's frightfully pleased with his rather spiffing steering engineering.
OK, so we've got two steering systems.
Right.
We've got the aft engine steering system. That's on the wheel.
That's controlled by that. Look at that. Look at that. Yeah. That is genius. Okay.
And then we've got the mid-engine position.
And how do they move?
Just like
with a special lever. Look at that.
In theory, with this engine in forward gear and this engine in reverse gear... Spin it on the spot.
Wow.
On the barley picker's side, their sinking scissors are almost complete, and they're hoping the hydraulics will hold.
Teams, you have 1 hour remaining. 1 hour's construction time. 1 hour.
The boat boys are still looking fairly armless.
So, what I'm proposing is...
Yep.
All right, in fact, I think we might probably put that across there. Yep.
But true to form, Toby is changing plans again and has decided he wants a whole new weapon.
Telegraph poles, sort of maybe 50-50, 60-40. Big spike at the end here.
Toby's latest addition to the boat boy's armoury involves pivoting a telegraph pole on a frame, which can then be deployed in two ways. It can be used to topple the towers by crashing into them or dropping onto the targets to smash them like an axe. Haven't we heard this somewhere before? Yes. It sounds like Ian's original design has been resurrected.
You like that idea?
Go for it.
No problems. Good as gold. Sign as bond, price as bond.
These posh boys will really have to knuckle down if they want to play rough with the farmers.
What are we doing here for controls?
Who also have lots to do.
What do you think of this? Is this what you had in mind?
That is just the job.
The barley pickers are adding some last-minute reinforcements to their flimsy hull.
Oh, hang on.
That is sweet as, mate.
That's good.
Tack him there, mate. Oh, Paul, this is amazing what they've done, isn't it? The barley pickers have turned this boat into a weapon of mass destruction. It's lethal. It should be banned by international treaty.
Should be, definitely, yeah. Everything's in there now.
It's in
there,
pumps
and everything.
The hydraulics
are there, the weapon's on, they've strengthened the sides since we last chatted.
Now, what about the boat boys? The boat boys thing...
Well, the boat boys are there.
Just getting bigger
and bigger. It's getting bigger and bigger.
And more and more weapons being attached.
So they've just come up with this brand new weapon, which I'm just about getting ahead of. It's this pole. They came up with that 15, 20 minutes ago.
Right. It is so colossal. So who's your money on now, then? Have you changed your mind?
It's got to be them, hasn't it?
It's got back with the barley pickers.
Well, they're the only ones who can get through.
It's the acid test for the boat boys' ram. Just how effective will it be?
Come on, then. Wind her up.
Monty, you've made the weakest link. Goodbye.
That was temporary, obviously.
And in the barley picker's yard, it's also test time. They've got no backup weapon, so it's all or nothing.
Get in the right hole.
Go on, Keith. Get it on there, mate.
Go on, have a go there.
Oh, really? think that works.
Yeah. That is fantastic. Well, guys, I'm really impressed. I went through a doubting period, which I now feel guilty about.
I can't believe that.
Only for a short time, about 8 hours.
There's an awful lot still to do, but will the troops rally behind Tyrant Toby?
Time for some seriously hard graft.
Teams, you have 30 minutes remaining. 30 minutes remaining, teams. Thank you.
Boat boys, make me a boat. Well, I can honestly say it's got more devices and contraptions on than you can shake a stick at. Let's start with this thing here.
Basically, we've got the boat here, and we're going to give it a bit of what for like this. But you're all thinking to yourself, if every time we hit the boat and it's in the water, it's going to fly away. But no, it's not. Johnny, on the first arm, down it goes, clomp into the boat. And then this is ready and release, crash, into it goes.
So basically you've got the arms acting as claws, holding
it in place.
And then you can swing your battering ram into it without it floating away.
The next plan, follow me. We now have to get up alongside like an oil rig derrick.
Yeah.
And we've got to turn it over.
Yep.
So we bring it alongside here.
Mm-hmm.
We get the wire onto there, through here, grappling line onto it, bring it in nice and close, and then wind it down. All the time we're doing that, okay? The boat's alongside and... Pong!
teams, you have 15 minutes. 15 minutes remaining. 15 minutes remaining, teams. That's all.
The barley pickers are still desperately reinforcing their lightweight hull and sharpening their prongs.
Can you cut that through there?
And Toby is still coming up with new designs. Now he wants a handrail.
Can you cut that off like that there, please? The railing's going to come from about here through to here.
Five!
Four!
Three!
Two!
One!
OK, teams, your time is up!
Yay!
Yes, you need to rest well, because tomorrow you'll need to be ship-shape to avoid a watery end.
And don't forget, whoever is the winner tomorrow will walk home with the glorious Scrappy Challenge Trophy!
Well done, teams.
Well done, teams. Fantastic.
So will the boat boys' barbaric wrecking raft, made of three rusty pontoons, a ram and a telegraph pole, hammer the opposition?
Or will the barley pickers' fragile but newly reinforced frigate and their savage scissors be cutthroat enough to secure victory?
Find out who'll land the coveted trophy after the break.
Very much. Trophy has now left the vehicle. Now.
Welcome back to the Scrap Heap Challenge final, where the teams face all-out hair-raising maritime mayhem.
Our team's dastardly destroyers will have to smash, scupper and sink the enemy's armada of defences so that they can land unchallenged on this island and claim the magnificent Scrap Heap Trophy.
In this head-to-head race, our teams must burst through some harbour gates before racing round the island and returning to face their second obstacle, toppling one of the enemy watchtowers. The final stage of this war on water will be to sink the enemy warship. Only then can the crew set sail on their final voyage to land at the island and claim the Scrap Heap Trophy.
Did you do it?
We've allowed our teams the customary hour of tinkering to make sure their destroyers are ready to do battle.
The barley pickers are making the final welds to hold their weapon in place, and they're beginning to feel the pressure as they test their hydraulics on HMS Proper Job.
So let's run through the tactics, teams. I realise you spent a lot of time working this out.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Definitely.
Gate first. So what do you do there?
Flat out.
Oh, you just go hell for leather for that one. Yeah. You've got to tip over the towers.
Yeah.
So then, is that a bit more delicate operation?
Nah, flat out.
Flat out again.
And then what about sinking the boat?
Flat out.
Flat out.
So it's a subtle approach. You could tell we spent all night working on our tactics.
Yeah, I can tell that.
I think we've got them polished now.
Meanwhile, Toby's tarting up his trawler. HMS Terrible.
Is it double R?
All right, boat boys, the moment of truth is here. Are you nervous?
No. We've got a full complement of tools. We can deal with anything on the course.
Excellent. Now, you've seen the course. You've had a look at the things that stand in your way. What are your tactics to deal with them?
Full bore. Full bore all the way. No nonsense. Get out the Toby's toys and just mash everything inside.
Yeah, and it really appeals to your childish side.
Yep.
Is that why you've painted your boat in such lurid colours?
Yeah, although she's called HMS Terrible, I think really it should be known as the floating sort of adventure playground, shouldn't it?
HMS Big Girls Blouse.
It is HMS Big Girls Blouse.
And with the final adjustments made, the boat boys and the barley pickers are ready to do battle.
HMS Terrible! HMS Proper Job! On my mark, unleash hell! 3, 2, 1!
And they're off. It's neck and neck, but the speed of the boat boys' barbaric three-engine bruiser is taking everyone by surprise.
Look at the boat boys, the speed they're coming away.
I cannot believe it. The last thing I expected to see was the boat boys moving. They're actually in the lead at the moment.
I think they're going to get there first. Barley pickers are having problems steering.
The barley pickers are actually going faster than the boat boys, but they need to be. They're covering twice the distance as they can't seem to steer in a straight line.
And the boat boys are going hell for leather as they approach the harbour gates.
And there was no stopping the boat boys' machine. The sheer weight and speed of the boat let it crash straight through those harbour gates. But how will the barley pickers fare in their lightweight vessel?
And the barley pickers have deployed their weapon, but what's going to smash first, the gates or their fragile fibreglass hull?
And they got through it! I don't believe it. That was fantastic.
I wish I was out there.
And let's see that again. As their prongs pierce the gates, the wood just splinters, and Andy's got his hands full fending off all that falling flotsam.
The barley pickers are behind as they race for the towers, but in the lead, the boat boys are going wide of the island to protect their outboard motors, and it's giving the farmers a chance to catch up.
Oh, look, they're taking the shortcut.
Coming closer.
Look,
they're coming closer into the shore.
Yep. And they can because they've got the water jet.
Andy looks very happy there for a non-swimmer.
Yep. They've got the water jet so they can go in the shallow water.
The barley pickers are moving into the lead, but they still don't seem to be able to go in a straight line.
Here, look, the steering. Look, they're going to straight. Where are they going?
And at the last minute, they managed to change course.
I can't believe it. I think the barley pickers are going for the boat at the moment. They're having real problems with their steering.
And now HMS Proper Job is finally heading in the right direction. That evil weapon is being deployed under the waterline. To topple the tower, they're going to try and get a prong right underneath it and hope their hydraulics can lift the weight. And the boat boys have finally made it to their tower. Which weapon are they going to go for? It's the winch. They're unwinding it and Monty's thrown the grappling hook. And it's caught. Now all they have to do is wind it in. And the barley pickers have got their weapon low in the water, right under the tower.
Oh, it's going, it's going.
Yes! Straight away!
I did not think that
was fantastic. Because now the boat boys are really having trouble manoeuvring it.
They are, look, here they go, look.
But it looks like they're going for the double whammy. And they're deploying their telegraph pole as well.
They're busting their tower up. They're not actually knocking it over. They're just taking it with them.
They're taking the tower with them. I'm not sure that's allowed.
They're lining it up. And over it goes. And they're both onto the last hurdle, sinking the enemy's ships.
Straight through the whole boat, gone right through it. Come out the other side.
But the barley pickers have a problem. They've impaled the boat, but it looks like it's stuck on them.
How are they going to release themselves off of it?
They do look a bit like they're a bit jammed on it.
And the boat boys have reached their target. It's all hands on deck for some serious ramming action. And the ram's bouncing off the boat. But yes, they've hauled it. Toby's got the boat well in his grasp with those giant pincers. It's not going to escape his destructive clutches.
The barley pickers have freed themselves and they're going in for another attack.
They're ripping the boat apart. It's getting lower and lower in the water. And the boat boys are ramming that ship ferociously. But the barley picker's boat is almost done for.
It's going down! Bye-bye, barley picker's enemies!
That's definitely sunk. They have definitely sunk
it. Yep, the barley picker's had it!
The barley pickers have sunk it!
So in the final leg, it's a sprint finish to the island for the barley pickers.
And the boat boys are still battering their ship. It's about to go. Yes, it's well and truly sunk.
They're going to get the flare. They're going to get the flare. They're coming for the flare.
And Farmer Andy is on the island. But the boat boys are in hot pursuit.
Here he comes.
But Andy has made it.
Fire off your flare. Yeah.
The barley pickers are this year's Scrap Heap Challenge champions. But those valiant boat boys have given them a real run for their money.
You boys knew what you were doing.
Well done, gentlemen. Very, very well done.
Come on, you boat boys!
Hey. Hey. Well done.
Oh, look at
that. Congratulations. Well done.
Barley picker boys! Come on in, you barley pickers!
Brilliantly well done.
Jobber, jobber.
Well done, Lisa.
Thank you.
Brilliant.
The biggest proper job ever. Yeah. Scrap Heap Champions 2002! If they think it's all over, wait till next week when they've got to meet last year's Scraptastic Champions, the Catalysts, in the final of finals. It's going to be amazing. It's going to be dirty. Don't miss it.